Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Okay, tonight, let's do our meditation. And as usual, these meditations are an opportunity for you to check in with yourself. An opportunity to talk to you. An opportunity to put aside your thinking mind for a moment and witness what you believe is true right now tonight. And if you're really quiet, the Holy Spirit will come in. And if you're a little noisy, then your crafty spiritual ego will come in and say, I know what's best for you. Yeah, that's okay. Either one. We're going to work with what comes to you tonight on this most important idea for your meditation. You know, we humans, we ego-addicted humans, are wandering through the world quite blindly because we have forgotten our power, our source. We have purposefully remembered to forget our home. We did, and we did it. Congratulations. Now, it would be best if we would allow a guide to come to us. Allow a strong guide to come to us and help us, not take us there. That's really not the goal of Course in Miracles. But to simply help us undo our addiction to the world, this ego. So, take a few minutes and please ask yourself this question and see what comes up. What is your purpose? What comes up? What is your purpose now? What are you doing with your consciousness? What guides your highest thinking and direction now? If you don't choose where you are going, you are as likely to stay exactly where you are as to go anywhere, and you will go everywhere without even knowing where you've gone and find yourself right where you started. What is your purpose? O child of God, you creative one, you, because of what you are, you will always get what you want, including being a character in a dream, in a body, in time and space. You will not be denied anything. You are so loved. So I ask you now, what is your purpose now? here you are, this being. Find yourself with a mind that can ask questions, make decisions, communicate, celebrate, cry, worry, be happy, be sad, gain, lose. Here you are, a being with all this capacity to see yourself as big, see yourself as small, see yourself as victorious, or see yourself as victim. All of this you do. But oh, you, creator child, you, now I ask you, what is your purpose now? When you're driving your car, you've been on the road for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, you're not driving around your town looking for Trader Joe's, you're going somewhere. Holding that purpose in your mind, you will arrive. But just turning the steering wheel randomly and driving down random roads, you will not arrive. You will go many places, but you will not arrive. So I ask you, you, thinking being, with the power of choice, what do you choose as your purpose now? And finally, just one more minute, same theme. If you care, just give me a word or a phrase, or maybe even this time we have a small group paragraph. What is your purpose now? So, Luann, what is your purpose now?
The answer I kept getting was my purpose is to discover and eliminate all the blocks that are keeping me from knowing that we're all one as life and love.
Nice. You bet. Eliminate the blocks. Clean as that. Ross, what's your purpose now?
So I'm looking at the world as a classroom, and this is the lecture portion here, and then I go out and interact with people and try to put it into practice what I learn here in the Zoom classes and in the book, and wow, it's a challenge.
Wow.
I look back and I go, oh my God, just egoholic.
Egoholic.
In my interactions with people. And, I'm not doing good keeping the peace.
Egoholic.
Okay, where's the Holy Spirit? I need some help here.
Yeah.
But that's you know, I feel like, you know, wow, it's like kindergarten.
You see the contrast? How strong the ego is, how habitual the ego is. And I know that you also see the promise of the Holy Spirit. I know you see that contrast.
I know the goal is to maintain peace and not fall for the tricks, you know, of
right.
getting angry. Anger is never justified, as the Course says.
Right.
So
it takes you back into the shadows.
Instant you've got anything other than peace, it's like, oops, or who said that? Oops, help.
Yes. Oops, help. Great prayer. Great prayer.
Oh, man.
I think we need that as a t-shirt. Oops, help.
I do.
Practicing it. You bet. That is what forgiveness is. You come here for the miracle. And I've seen it. I've heard it. You've taught us the miracle, the switch in the change in perception, the changing of your mind about the world. That's what the miracle is. And then actually applying it, this is what forgiveness is. The miracle is instantaneous. The forgiveness may take again and again and again and again until you surrender to the truth of the miracle. And then forgiveness is instantaneous. And then the holy instant. And you see all of them happen at the same time. But not while you're addicted to the ego and you actually believe what it is you're trying to forgive. The miracle says you don't have to believe it anymore. Forgiveness says, I'm not going to believe it anymore. And the holy instant is, I don't believe it anymore. That's what we're doing. Very good. That's it. You are walking the walk, my friend. Beautiful. Good, good. Jacqueline, what are you doing? Does that work when I press a button? Did you get a button in the middle of your screen?
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. Okay.
Okay, good.
So, after wandering around in the meditation, what I got was my purpose is salvation. And the task, there are tasks like what Luann is talking about, what Ross is. So those tasks came up for me, the undoing, the forgiveness. So in this world, I have tasks. And in this world, salvation is this world also, because once salvation, atonement, and then at one went, then salvation is no longer, I don't think. I mean, it's done, right? It's completed. So, and the other thing I got in the mint, when I had I got salvation, I also felt I was given an understanding that, oh, purpose, that I also will be completely free of all purpose. There is no purpose in the oneness. It's free. I just felt it just fell away. If you're just the oneness, that there isn't a purpose, but in this world, there's purpose. That's what came up for me.
There's certainly something urgent in this world. It's urgent in the same way when you're at the bottom of the swimming pool. The bottom of the swimming pool, trying to touch the bottom of the swimming pool with your feet, and you realize, I've done it, and I'm out of air. Mm-hmm. I've done it. I did it, right? I got to the bottom of the pool. I walked on. Everybody done this? Has everybody do this as a kid or whenever? Walked on the bottom of a swimming pool. Have you ever all done this?
No.
Is that a good analogy? You have to let a lot of air out of your lungs so that your feet will go all the way to on the bottom of the pool, and you can walk across the cement on the bottom of the pool. It's really cool. But there's not much air left by the time you've accomplished this. So I think you can imagine, right? And so now that you've accomplished enough of walking on the bottom of the pool, at least for me, this is what happened for me, it was time to go back and get some air. I had a purpose now. I wasn't walking in the pool anymore. It was going back and getting air. Going back up, taking an easy breath, receiving my inheritance as a human who breathes air, with the air everywhere. All I have to do is breathe it, but not when you're in the underwater. So, yes, a very good orientation. I hear that in your voice. Good, good, good. Michaeline, I put a button in the middle of your screen, I think.
Yes, you did. Thank you. My purpose now is to be silent and listen. So much of what you said, like, that actually happened to me today. I have a family member who's at the end of their life, and I went to see them, and I was driving in my car, and I got lost, and I don't know why I got lost. I've been there a million times. And, my mind was full of too much. My ego was taking me places I haven't been in a while, and your analogy of being at the bottom of the pool, I came tonight to get a breath of air.
Excellent. Good. 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 So indeed, this is it. This is, if you don't practice swimming upward, you will continue to feel the pain of not being able to breathe. Very simple math. And Ross was expressing that too. He says, you know what? I'm out there in the world and I don't choose a piece that I know I could. But he knows he can. And I know which way is up. And if you ever wonder which way is up, if you've so messed up in your life and you're not even sure what to do or where to go because things are getting too difficult for you, well, this is like if you were a diver and you were diving down, 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 down into the ocean. And you realize that after you get, I don't know, it's not very far, 150 feet or something, or 200 feet, because of the density, it gets darker and darker and darker. Eventually, you can't necessarily see light up. It's no longer obvious when you get deep enough in the ocean. It's black. And so, you are justifiably lost if you're relying on your eyeballs. So, just like with the ego, and the ego's, the design of the world is to get you lost, Michaeline. It's to surround you with darkness of the world and physicality and make you sort your way out in the world and struggle with the things of the world and try to get some hope at the level of the world. That's what it's designed for. What we're doing is we're appealing for help. We're calling for the Holy Spirit to give us light in what otherwise would remain dark and remain dark forever. I know that's pretty dark, right? But it's right out of the course, forever. It's actually forever, comma, and forever.
Yeah.
You will stay there. You like I say, you wander around your car just turning the steering wheel. You'll be busy driving the car. But you haven't arrived anywhere, and you will not have left anywhere either. You'll just be driving.
The hard part of that is because she only has a certain period of time where she's lucid and awake. Mm. And I was really just struggling just to get there. And I didn't pay attention to where I was going. And I made a wrong turn. And it just took me. And then I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not going to have... It was very...
Precious analogy. Because it swallowed you up. You made a wrong turn. You were not vigilant about what you were doing.
Right, right.
And therefore, the world... And the roads, they did exactly what they should do. Swallow you up with two left turns and a right turn, and then now I'm just lost. I went too far down the boulevard. Now I can't turn right because the railroad track, right? It just swallows you up.
Yeah, I was in a hurry, and I made a wrong turn on a street too early. And I
ended up in Los Angeles County, and we all know what that's like down there. But this is a good analogy for what happens in our life. When we get busy not being vigilant to our purpose, the roads will swallow you up. Now, how do you get out? Because now it's even more urgent. Now you're more of a hurry. Because you're so far lost, you're in more of a hurry than you were before. The ego really wants to take control.
Yeah.
This happens in all sorts of walks of life, right? So, And so my analogy is that you dive deep into the ocean, and you go deeper and deeper and deeper, and finally it's just, you're so deep that you can't tell which way is up. You lost your orientation. And so the diver's trick is you make sure you have some light, some battery power left. You've got to have some light. And you turn on your flashlight or the light on your diving helmet, and you let some air out, and the bubbles will always go up. Physics will dry. Even though it's pitch black, and you think that's the way home, you really feel like up is this way, but the bubbles are going that way. You have to surrender all of your beliefs in the direction that you thought was right, and now you trust the bubbles. The bubbles is the Holy Spirit now, and for us, the Holy Spirit is actually written down in A Course in Miracles, so you don't even have to divine it, which you could, but you don't have to. Because this part of your mind, we call Jesus, is the awakening diver, and has written in A Course in Miracles this bubble trick, and provided the bubbles for you to look at. You must look at them. And you driving, you have to stop, and you have to look at where you are. Now, finally, you get lost enough, you surrender and say, I really don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what this road means. I don't know what direction I'm going. I must appeal now to help. Whether it's the map or a person or whatever, you finally surrender. This happens too to the diver. Because the diver's sure that they're just going to go back the way they came, but they're wrong about the way they came. Like you were driving, you were wrong. So it is a good time to listen. And that's how you look, that's how you receive the information from the bubbles, is you look at them. You say, all right, you ask yourself to be open-minded, to blow out some bubbles, shine a light, and there they go. This is your way. Certainly, this is your way. Good, good. Good thing to listen when it's time. Thank you, Michaeline. Sundari, what are you doing now? What's up? What's your purpose?
It went through three levels in your questioning, and the first was to exist solely as God's love and form in joyous service to all of creation, including myself. And then when you asked the question again, it was quite sweet because something came up for me that I hadn't thought of in a decade. And I was at the Church of the Beatitudes with JM and that group, and a woman from the group would anoint us. This is the church where the Sermon from the Mount occurred. The woman whispered in our ear something, different things in each person's ear, and what they whispered in mine was shocking to me at the time. It was, be the voice of the feminine Christ. And that's what came up to me as the second level, be the voice of the feminine Christ. And then when you asked the third time, it was very sweet. It was to receive love so fully that my heart's chalice is filled to overflowing. To receive it so fully that my heart's chalice is filled to overflowing.
This is your purpose, Sundari. To receive love so fully that it overflows. And then all else will follow. Beautiful. Good, good. Well, get out of the way of that as soon as you can. All right, Deborah. Deborah, what's your purpose now? What are you doing with this body-mind consciousness that's Deborah? We call it Deborah Morrison right now, but what are you doing on the inside?
I'm doing a lot of searching and seeking, and the words that I came up with were love, to unite, to awaken from the dream. But like Ross and other people shared, I bounce around in the dream world. I had a moment today, though, I have to say, I was reflecting on it, and I got a message from my mechanic, and he said, well, your truck, you know, the big blah blah is about to happen. And I was amazed at how peaceful I was. It was just, it was like a smooth river or something. It felt so good. And then I thought, wow, you know, like, good on ya.
That is a celebration.
Yeah, it was peaceful.
There was no fight, huh?
There was no
fight. No argument.
Right.
Oh, the ego didn't even get a chance to go in and fight. No need. That is forgiveness in action, and that's a celebration of the holy instant in your life. The world now, for the rest of your life, whether it be your truck or your body or your loved ones, each of them will challenge you in the same way. They should all be treated the same as that truck today, right? Fretting over it, worrying over it, trying to design your way so that you don't get hurt will never work, because the design not to get hurt involves a focus on how you could be hurt, and now instantly you're hurt, even if it never comes true. The best approach is just as you handled your truck. All right, why don't we look in this? We'll see how this goes. Without feeling loss, without going straight to any kind of fear, you can live the rest of your life every day with every circumstance that comes up can be treated like you treated that truck. You're not abandoning the truck. You're not abandoning your life. You're just doing it without fear. Much better way. Oh, yes. I like that. Good. Timothy, what are you doing with your consciousness now?
Struggling. Mm. To the point where I almost was going to say, I don't want to talk tonight. Can you please take a pass? My wife and I have been married for 20 years, and we have difficult nights half, three quarters of the time, some hard feelings. There's no yelling or screaming, but it's not nice. And there's no cuss words or anything like that, but it's just, I don't want it to be like this, and haven't wanted it to be like this for a long time. And yet my ego seems to get hooked each and every time, and I am frustrated with that. And so I think, well, is it up to me to get this perfect so that no matter what words drip out of this person's mouth, I do not respond in a negative fashion? Is that my task? Or is it... I had a psychiatrist tell me, why are you putting up with this? Get the hell out. You know, that's being responsible to yourself. And so I was weighing those two things in my mind. They seem to be in opposition to each other.
Yes.
They both seem to have elements of truth.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what to do next.
Yes. Well, let me weigh in, if you don't mind. So... with your wife, and each dealing with your wife, as with everything else in your life, you now have one purpose, Tim. You have one choice to make that will lead to every other correct choice. The problem is the ego gets in the way of this one choice, which I shall tell you in just one moment. You have one choice to make, and the ego will get in very quickly with maneuvers to block you from making this choice and actually advancing from the special relationship where everything is negotiated and competitive to the holy relationship where everything is shared together. This is what we're talking about, especially in relationship with somebody with whom you live under the same roof. And this doesn't mean you stay under the same roof. You may or you may not. But for darn sure, since you're living out this dream, let the Holy Spirit, let A Course in Miracles come in and guide you with this one thing I'm about to tell you. Let it guide you, and this thereby blocking the ego's divisiveness. The ego divides and separates. That's its job. And that makes a special relationship even more special to the point of being intolerable. Or completely codependent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what is this? What do you do? What is your job in the next conversation with your wife?
It's to this. Model what it's like to...
I'll tell you. Let me tell you.
All right.
Your job is to choose peace, Tim, right before you open your mouth. And right before you listen to her open her mouth, your job is to choose peace. You don't have to know what peace looks like. It doesn't have a perfect sentence. It doesn't have a perfect response. It doesn't have any expectations at all. See, the ego has to follow a specific plan in the world. Peace does not. You choose peace before the situation. This is our teaching of setting the goal on page 365, talking about special relationships specifically. The ego says, have the conversation, do the best you can, say your part, don't be unfairly treated, don't be a doormat. In fact, try to teach them what's true. And then after it's all over, after, these can go on for hours and hours, and you're past your bedtime, and you sleep on the couch, and then you try to sort it out, and what happened? This is what the ego's plan is. The Holy Spirit's plan is way simpler and way more effective. You choose peace before you start speaking and before you start listening. Now, that has a very specific effect. You know you have the power to do it. We don't have to go there. Everybody here is advanced enough to know the power of your own mind. You have the power to choose peace under any circumstance. If you doubt that, please bring it up, and I will show you examples where you do. But you already know this. The problem is you don't choose peace. You choose to follow the ego's idea, and it's some form of attack. It's some form of getting even or straightening out the record or whatever. But were you to choose peace first before the conversation, before you even know what's going to be said, and you stick with that one goal, and then let whatever be said, whatever is heard will be interpreted through a filter of choosing peace. This vigilance will bring you back, bring you into a holy relationship where all things are shared. And let me say one more thing. Here's what it sounds like. You're in the conversation, all right? You're doing your best, right? You've come into the situation. You've read page 28. I hope you have that bookmarked. If things are difficult with your wife, bookmark page 28. Make sure you read that before you talk to her the next time. So you're gonna go, you read page 28, and that will orient you very nicely. Everybody go to page 28 in the text. This is one of our toolbox items. Really helpful. Oh man, this is the definition of orienting your mind to get yourself prepared. Look at what it says in the italics. It says, I am here talking to my wife. I am here in the kitchen talking to my wife of 20 years only to be truly helpful. That's why. You're not, that's why. That's why. I mean, after all, I think everybody here would like to be truly helpful and not win again or lose again. Thank God, please don't lose, right? Truly helpful. That's pretty universal. Because truly helpful, you really, we really could capitalize the T there or the H maybe, so we can go beyond the ego's idea of helpful. That would be nice. So that'd be truly helpful. So it's kind of implied. Very orienting. Whew. All right. Is that enough? He says, I am here in the kitchen talking to my wife. Why? What's my purpose? What am I going to do? You are going to represent capital H, capital who? Him who sent me. When you say him who sent me, two things happen instantaneously. One is, you recognize you're not alone in this idea of doing this holy communication or going to meet somebody in the hospital at their cancer bed. Really good to read this before you go in and see somebody who's really sick or their life is in big trouble. So you don't let the ego go in with all of its ideas of how to make them feel better. Whoa! Much better to go in and represent him who sent you, who knows far better than you or your ego what to do, what to say, and to whom. Way better. So you want to represent the part of you that's still connected to the truth. Him who sent me. This is the Christ in you. This is the Holy Spirit to manifest the Holy Spirit. Now, really helpful. Really helpful. The next sentence. Standing here in the kitchen, working out this difficult conversation with my loved one, I do not have to worry about what to say. Thank God. That's a big deal. What to do? Don't have to worry about it. Don't try to premeditate these things. The ego will get in the way. Because he who, capital letters, sent me, will direct me. When you say those words out loud and your heart is in trouble, you will find instant strength because, again, you will know that you're not alone. And you will feel, especially if you've been through the workbook once, you will feel a reconnection with the Holy Spirit saying, you are not comfortless. You will never be alone. And I can guide you even through this difficult conversation. You will feel that. A little surrender occurs. It's brilliant, this whole thing.
Thank you.
And then, yeah, you're welcome. And then a celebration occurs. I am content to be wherever he wishes. Now you're even going to let go of the idea of going into the hospital room or staying. Or, you know, you got to just let go of space. You let go of time, let go of space, let go of what you're going to say and to whom. Really open your mind. I'm content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me. So if you're going in, you're not going in alone. If you're talking to her, you're no longer talking to her alone. That's the problem, talking to her alone. Yeah. Now, tighten your seatbelt for the last sentence. I will be healed. Now, obviously, the whole problem and the difficulties come about because you're sick. The way you're approaching the problem is broken. It's not loving. It's not receiving love, giving love, making solid decisions, etc. You're sick. But the Course is actually, at this point, going back to the big picture, you're sick because you think you're in a body. This is why you're really sick. And this is the only healing we have to do, is this wake up. I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. The reason why that's so important is do you see the circle, right? I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. You see the circle again? The reason why it's so important is because the only way you can stay uncomfortable You can stay angry or sick or in chaos or indecision is because you continue to think that way. You continue to think of sickness and more sickness. In other words, separation. The only real sickness there is. So I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. See? It's a beautiful, beautiful circle. It's Course in Miracles, you know. But anyway, that should be your quick little preparation, and it should orient your mind very nicely.
Can I ask or make a comment and hope it's got an answer?
Please, please.
So if we take the first part of the italics, in other words, if we represent him, if we don't worry what we say or what we do, because we'll be directed by him, then in doing that, I will be healed. And truthfully, I guess in being healed, I am teaching.
Oh, yes. Yet the truth has that effect of teaching you. Yeah.
Okay.
Look at page 90. This is another one that, another toolbox item that you should have bookmarked and, you know, maybe even written on a 3x5 card somewhere nearby it. In case of emergency, break glass and read page 90. This is where I want you on that paragraph 6. Look at sentence 5. Sentence 5 says, insert your name, your part is merely to return your thinking to the point at which the error was made. And give it over to the atonement in peace. Say this to yourself as sincerely as you can. And then stop and try a little harder so you really say this sincerely. That opens your mind to the Holy Spirit. It's a surrender. Remembering that the Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation. To the Holy Spirit, not to the ego. Yeah. I must have decided wrongly. I know it because I'm not at peace. Oh, how generous for Jesus to allow you to get it off your chest. I'm pissed. I'm worried. I feel like this is useless. I'm just going to do this again for the same reward. Oh, right? So generous to have your guide, your loving guide, Jesus, meet with you with that sentence. So if you're in a world of hurt, if you're in a world of pain, this is really great to get a hug and say, I know how you feel. There it is. Because I'm not at peace. Next sentence. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. The bad news first, and then the good news. You're the problem, and you're the solution. It's good. It's good that way. Very balanced. Sentence now, 9. You take a big breath. As you allow the surrender of the ego, letting go of the ego, occur, and you say, I want. Now that's becoming a four-letter word to the ego, because you're banning the ego right here. I want to decide otherwise. That's a departure from what the ego was taking you. I want to decide otherwise, comma. And now the Holy Spirit's coming back into your mind with the second half of that sentence. Knowing your truth for you. because I want to be at peace. This is true for everybody, saint and sinner alike. They all want peace in their own heart. And now, here comes the little bit of medicine. Is your trust is starting to return to you. You can allow yourself to say, I do not feel guilty. Guilt is the coin of the ego. Guilt is the poison that makes the world continue to bite. Guilt is the coin that allows a situation to come from the past into the present and start to color your future before it arrives. So, it's very important that you allow yourself to surrender the guilt as soon as possible. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. You recognize that this is only 90 pages into A Course in Miracles, and there are approximately 1,200 pages to follow. Those 1,200 pages explain to you how it is the book can be so confident saying that the Holy Spirit can undo all the consequences of your wrong decision. Those are big words. I mean, that's claiming a lot. But you know, something like this, this is a huge relief. After you learn to trust the book and you trust that what it says is true, this is a reminder of how free you actually are and can be in any minute. Here we go. Last sentence. Claim it. I choose to let him undo all the consequences, etc. By allowing him to decide for God for me. God is just a placeholder in this book for truth. And a lot more. You know, more than you can know it being in a separate body. But that'll truth will do, at the very least. So I choose to let him undo all the consequences of my wrong decision. By allowing him to decide for truth for me, for God for me, for holiness instead of unholiness for me. So Tim, these two paragraphs are very orienting to calm the mind down from wanting to attack or to fight. It could be very helpful. All right. Julie?
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Wait, can I? I absolutely love this part. And I love the idea that the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences. But I don't know what it is that keeps me from letting him.
Oh, yes. Well, is anybody wants it? Any Course in Miracles students or anybody want to answer? Yes, Jacqueline.
Well, I think I was going to ask about the same thing, because just recently I was really looking at my own sense of guilt about things. It could even happen today, or the past guilt, and I understand the forgiveness and that we're all sinless. So I've had that experience too. But I was thinking that it seems like the root is the original guilt of the separation. And when I look out at the world before me, and it's all reflecting back to me what's in my mind, I can really feel guilty. Right?
Yes.
I mean, it's huge. This really has come up with me. So it seems to me that the little guilts, and then the Course in Miracles idea of the whole world is just reflecting my mind, really could bring up a lot. But it all goes back to the original guilt about separation. And I understand also we don't need to have the guilt. But anyway, anything you could say about that? And is that a little bit along the lines of, Luann, what you're talking about too?
You are much more advanced in that respect than I am. I was just thinking of how I felt guilty.
Yeah.
But you're right. It could go all the way back to guilt about the original separation.
You understood what the original separation actually is, you're absolutely right. If you look at the original separation, you know, as a sin of the Catholic Church, boy, if you just laid a burden on yourself. Mm-hmm. Course in Miracles shows us how the separation is a thought. And therefore, a thought can be done or undone. Sundari, you have something to say?
Yeah. The way I practiced that was I imagined God's hand, you know, with the peace of God. And then I thought, you know, and I started really looking at, and sometimes it would be, I wasn't willing to give up control. How do I know that God has a better answer than I do? Am I really willing to let somebody else take control? What about my trust? Can I trust enough to trust God to give me the right answer? I mean, does God really know? And I started going through all the different hands that were, you know, well, if I really give up everything, what if I get the wrong priorities back? And I started really, really turning over what I was holding on to that made me not have enough energy to grab the peace of God. And that was really useful to me, like sort of, and weighing, could I do that? And for a long time, I couldn't. And it was funny because it was lesson 169 I was on.
Nice.
The first time I did the lessons, and that's the first time ever that I was able to grab God's hand instead of, it was just, you know, my personal process going through the lessons the first time, but they all focused on exactly that issue. The first time I went through the lessons is like, here's this piece of God, and no, and then I just started looking at everything as I was going along the way. It was a good process for me.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, well, before we digress too far into that, because you brought up some great things, Sundari, but Luann's question was, why can't I go back and choose the Holy Spirit's way? Why do I not automatically choose peace and then be peaceful? That was her question. Anybody else want to weigh in on the Course in Miracles answer? Anybody like maybe Julie? What, Ross?
It just feels like habit to me. Like,
yes,
it's just this knee-jerk reaction of, okay, I want to win the argument. Okay, I'm right. I want to be right. And, you know, I see it later like, oh, geez, there I did it again. I wanted to be right. Oh, boy, I wanted to win the argument. Oh, no. I fell for it. You know, hook, line, you know, there's the hook.
And it feels so
real good
to be right. Ah!
It doesn't feel peaceful.
And the other person's person's in tears. And they say, okay, Ross, all right, I'm sorry. I guess you're right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. You know, they're like, just.
Or they get pissed. And you're like, oh.
That's not really what happens for me. And I can understand that it would happen for other people. But what happens for me is I feel so guilty that I can't feel like God's going to take, like the Holy Spirit's going to take care of all the results of what I've done.
You bet. You bet. Okay, everybody, real quick, let's just go to page 617. We'll be right back here. We're going to talk to Julie in a moment, but first we have to take a side trip to page 617 in the text. This is another very insightful little paragraph that is so sane. It's so reorienting. It's so in your face. It's like your therapist after 2-3 years says, grabs you by the shoulders and says, look, this is Jesus on page 617, so that's about what it is before we get into the workbook. So, Ross, would you read for us paragraph one, seek not outside yourself?
Seek not outside yourself, for it will fail, and you will weep each time an idol falls. Heaven cannot be found where it is not, and there can be no peace excepting there. Each idol that you worship when God calls will never answer in his place. There is no other answer you can substitute and find the happiness his answer brings. Seek not outside yourself, for all your pain comes simply from a futile search for what you want, insisting where it must be found. What if it is not there? Do you prefer that you be right or happy? Be you glad that you are told where happiness abides, and seek no longer elsewhere. You will fail. But it is given you to know the truth and not to seek for it outside yourself.
Doesn't that kind of sound like a therapist saying goodbye? This is our final session, so I'm just saying that, you know, stop looking elsewhere. See, you're going to fail. You failed your whole life trying to solve problems your way. Now it's time to turn it over to the Holy Spirit. Now be inclusive of the whole situation rather than just picking your side. This is what he says. Whoa! Jacqueline, would you read that same paragraph? So Ross can just listen in.
Seek not outside yourself, for it will fail, and you will weep each time an idol falls.
So that explains why the tears come. Go ahead.
Heaven cannot be found where it is not, and there can be no peace excepting there.
And there is heaven in this sentence. And heaven in A Course in Miracles is code for understanding. There's a peace and a rest that only comes when you understand. This is what heaven is. Please continue.
Each idol that you worship when God calls will never answer in his place. There is no other answer you can substitute and find the happiness his answer brings. Seek not outside yourself. For all your pain comes simply from a futile search for what you want, insisting where it must be found.
Now, in that sentence, everybody, you should probably take a highlighter or a pen or something and underline or put in quotes the word you. That really needs to be punched when you read that. He's getting personal. So it reads, for all your pain comes simply from a futile search for what you want. You, the separated one. You, the struggling ego that is afraid of losing. This is the you. Insisting where it must be found. It must be found in the other person, the finally saying to me, I'm sorry, you're right, please forgive me, Andrew. That's my ego's greatest day. Oh, that's not where you're going to find happiness, is it? That's not love. That will not be a holy relationship that needs that. Please continue.
What if it is not there? Do you prefer that you be right or happy? Be you glad that you are told where happiness abides and seek no longer elsewhere?
Now, in that sentence, sentence 10, do the same thing. Underscore or highlight or put in quotes the word A-R-E. So it reads like this. Be you glad that you are told where happiness abides. You are not left without the information you need. And seek no longer elsewhere. Please continue.
You will fail. But it is given you to know the truth and not to seek it and not to seek for it outside yourself.
So it turns out the answer is one thought away in your own mind. You choose peace, and then you're peaceful. From that perspective, you're quiet now. And from that perspective, you can hear the Holy Spirit, and you can heal. and you can do things peacefully. Even if it means you're going to end a relationship, you will do it now from a sense of awareness and peace rather than struggle, fight, and division. You will be joining with the happiness that is only to be found apart. Or you will celebrate the happiness that you rediscover together. Either way, it will be done through peace, not through war, not through attack. Good, good, good. Okay. Julie?
Andrew?
Well, yeah. Uh-huh.
Coming back to the guilt thing, a lot of times in the Course, it says, and you say, no problem, you know, the mistakes we make, we just innocently decided to make this world, we're innocent in that, we're sinless, and somehow that reassurance that keeps coming up throughout Course in Miracles is what hopefully assists me and Luann and all of us to let go of the guilt, to really know, you know, because they keep saying, it's okay, you made mistakes, and they're not even real because this world isn't real. And all the things that we do as an ego isn't real. And so why carry this huge burden of guilt? I just wanted to, you know, those are ways that I'm looking at it and working on resolving it and really being free of it.
Yes.
As promised to me.
Yes.
And pointed out throughout the book.
Promised to you throughout the book, starting in the Miracle Principles and ending in the last lesson. Throughout the whole book, it's gently breaking the big news to you that from your current perspective, the invisible is more real than the visible. He's trying to say this as gently as he can so you don't just throw the book out. There's a couple of powerful sentences right up in the very beginning. In the Miracle Principles. Turn to page 3 and 4. And look at Miracle Principle 20. This is the big end game for A Course in Miracles. Jacqueline, read for us Miracle Principle 20.
Miracles reawaken the awareness that the spirit, not the body, is the altar of truth. This is the recognition that leads to the healing power of the miracle.
We're dismissing the body entirely here. Not just your body, their body too. You know how many times it says, I am not a body. This is a phrase repeated more through it than any other in the entire book. Mm-hmm. I'm not a body. I am free. I'm still as God created me.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah. Oh, you're so welcome. It's important stuff. Look at 29. Jacqueline, read for us 29.
Miracles praise God through you. They praise him by honoring his creations, affirming their perfection. They heal because they deny body identification and affirm spirit identification.
If we read through that miracle principle, don't we learn right there? This talks about honoring God's creations, affirming their perfection. They heal because God's creations, God's perfection to which you have access, so it promises, deny body identification. What? Did it just tell us that the thoughts you think with God are going to deny body identification? Yes. And the book will teach you that. Wow. Right up front, head on. The message in this book was never random nor a mistake. This was a gift given from page 1. Just fed to you so that you could absorb it. Read for us 30, Jacqueline.
By recognizing spirit, miracles adjust the levels of perception and show them in proper alignment. This places spirit at the center where it can communicate directly.
Yes. That's a miracle to change the focus of what you're doing to your spirit instead of your body. This is why a holy relationship works. Holy relationships works because you've centered it on spirit, the only thing that can join. The bodies don't actually join. Even in these acts of trying to join, they are actually ended up being a study in separateness trying to join. I mean, it's the way it turns out. But the spirit, that joins and celebrates joining. All right. Okay, enough of that. Good stuff. Julie, what are you doing with your consciousness there at Devil's Tower?
I'm glad you knew what that was.
That's a crazy place.
I'm actually like really in the same place as Tim, where it's like I'm struggling and wanted to pass. I even just started typing you a private message saying I was going to pass, but then you called on me before I could hit send. So, yeah, but I mean, I think it's like maybe it's just the night of like owning stuff, because I feel like, you know, here I am, this like student of 6 years, and like have come to like every single meeting that I was in town for, but I just like feel like I am like completely, yeah, like all of my commitment or interest is just like melted away, like dissolved. Like I can't even explain. I mean, I could theorize like some of the things with COVID and other things that like, you know, I don't have all my practices and people that I normally would, but like it's, I don't even think like that's the reason. I just can't even explain it, but it's like everything everyone's saying is just amazing, and I can't, I know the truth of this book, but I have no drive to do anything about it. And that makes me feel sad, but it's like just where I'm at.
I understand.
Yeah.
There is a desert that we all cross with A Course in Miracles. And it happens around year 5 and 6. Usually 5, 6, 7 years of studying the book. When the sudden power and sudden ahas aren't being discovered daily anymore. And because you're so familiar with the book, you think, well, it can't help me with this, or I didn't even remember to look at A Course in Miracles. And you lose your, it doesn't seem like a tool for you. It happened to me, and it happened to just about everybody who I've been able to ask in depth enough, and they recall, because a lot of people don't study it for 5 years in a row, Julie. It's pretty rare you actually spend 5 years, anybody spends 5 years with this book every year. But for those who do, you get some familiarity up, and the ego has continued to survive. A level of the ego, let me call it that. A level of the ego has continued to survive and was untouched by all your work with the book at the 5 year point. So I would just like to give you the encouragement now that as you continue, that ego does not have the power to resist what's coming next, which is, you know, year 6 and 7. The understanding that is waiting in the book, at least to happen for me, and it's happened for other people who've had yet another awakening on top of year 7 or 8. I'm at year 93. Oh my God, 27. I'm at year 27, and I'm still having major awakenings. But I remember crossing this desert at around year 5, and I asked Tom Carpenter. Anybody know who Tom Carpenter is? Anybody? He was a great Course in Miracles. He heard Jesus' voice, and his wife recorded it and wrote a book. And anyway, he was one of my very first teacher. I call up Tom. Tom, I don't know. I don't know what else. I don't know the course is. Anything else is in the course for me. Tom said, Andrew, go get your course and start over on page one. But this time, read it as if you wrote it. That was it. I haven't put it down since. So, the solution, whenever you feel empty, whenever you feel like there is not a resource available to you, or you feel not as uninspired, maybe, if that occurs to you, all you have to do is to take yourself aside somewhere and sit. You already have the words. You don't have to go. I could show you lots of pages that are very inspiring and would pull you out, but they'd only pull you out for a day or maybe the hour that you read it. And they're beautiful. They may bring tears to your eye, the whole bit. There's lots of great pages in the course that will do that. And you got my toolbox, so you know how to go to them. But the remedy for year six is actually to stop the ego now. The part of the ego that's continued to be trusted through all your life, deeply identified with what you are. The only way now for the Holy Spirit to be heard behind that noise is simply to go still. You'll simply sit. Set a timer. Maybe it's only 5 minutes. And after 5 minutes goes off, if you did not go still, go for another five and continue. You will have a breakthrough. What's already installed in you with your study for the first 6 years is waiting to be heard again. It can only be heard in silence. And if you're not feeling perfectly happy, it's because you're staring at the clouds instead of the sky. So the way to look past the clouds is to go silent. Very, very important. Yeah. Very simple. Too simple, it seems, to be the answer to something so powerful. And yet, the ego cannot stand up in silence. It only survives by expressing its opinion.
Thank you, Julie. Because I've been worried about 5 years. I'm coming up on it pretty soon. And I have some bits of myself that are saying, what's the point? You're never going to ever get this.
Yep.
And so I've been wondering. So I'm glad Andrew answered you, because it felt right what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, another really critical toolbox item for a time like this is something, and also answers Luann's question earlier. Go to page 660. Again, Jesus is kind of closing off the counseling session and saying, well, you know, our time is up, and you're going to be on your own here pretty soon. So let me just tell you the bottom line. So I think we're up to Michaeline. Michaeline, would you read for us paragraph 17? And this is going to end. We only have 5 minutes, so this is a perfect way to close off the meeting.
And we'll actually have this one highlighted. So.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, thank you for calling on me to read it. The world can teach no images of you unless you want to learn them. There will come a time when images have all gone by and you will see you know not what you are. It is to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns, unhindered and unbound. Where concepts of the self have been laid by is truth revealed exactly as it is. When every concept has been raised to doubt and question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand the light, then is the truth left free to enter in its sanctuary, clean and free of guilt.
Okay, hold on a second, because we're out of time. I'm just going to add a few comments here. What Michaeline just described, Julie, is the real world. Is when your third eye opens and your Christ mind sees objectively what's actually going on. You see how it says it in those first couple sentences? It says there will come a time when images have all gone by. It's images. Edges, stuff, start and stop. And you will see that you know not what you are. You know, I've told you so many times in the whole class, right, that the problem is that you know something that's not true. You've always thought you knew about Julie. You were sure that at least you knew about Julie. Maybe the whole world's an illusion, but you thought Julie was not. There will come a time when this freedom enters that level of your awareness. And that's where you're going next. That's next in your awakening, Julie. So there will come a time when images have all gone by and you will see that you know not what you are. You will still be at peace at this point because it will still be you who knows not what you are. It's a really interesting dark night of the soul. Very, very freeing experience, Julie. Oh, what a relief. The spaciousness. Ready? It is to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns. Unhindered and unbound. Because there are no longer limits like time. There are no longer limits like individual thoughts. There's still limits for you because that seems like the way things work. This is your next awakening. Where concepts of the self, small s, they've been laid by easily. Because now you know that what you thought was true, you knew was true, is not. And so this spaciousness comes in, just that way. Then truth is revealed exactly as it is. When every concept has been raised to doubt and question, in the Course of Miracles, when it says every, it means every. Thank God it's that clear. In case you're wondering, what concepts do I have to be clear of? Every concept means every concept has been raised to doubt and question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand the light, then is the truth left free to enter in its sanctuary, clean and free of guilt. Okay, Luann, finish it up. Oh, who was reading? Michaeline. Michaeline, finish it up.
There is no statement that the world is more afraid to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world, or on myself. Yet in this learning is salvation born. And what you are will tell you of itself.
This is your homework, Julie, your assignment, if you choose to take it, is to take those italics into a meditation that leads you to silence. That's all you need. This is entering the salvation in your next awakening. Well, we've run out of time. Thank you, everybody. We'll do our reading next week. Very good work. Very, very honest, good work. Thank you, everybody. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. Good class.
Good. You're welcome. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks, Andrew. Thank you.